for that. Jeff Darlington going to join us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline from ESPN, our friend Jeff. Good morning. How are you?
What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing?
We're doing great, man. It's hanging
in there.
Hey, Joe,
I realized something. Realized something last night, man. When you know how you always blame me for not texting you fast enough?
Yeah.
I realized why that is.
Why?
It's because your texts show up green, and that means that you don't really actually exist in this world.
Right. Because, he doesn't have an iPhone. Right.
Yeah,
oh,
so
man.
The green text really puts a psychological factor into play here where I don't know that it's actually you. It feels more like some sort of robot or Russian bot, whatever it is.
Right.
I don't actually believe that it's you.
Okay.
Right.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to change that phone. I'm about ready to take care of that phone problem. Everybody's complained about the phone. So I'm going to take care of that. But thank you for that heads up on that. I do appreciate it. Jeff, can we start with Monday Night Football? I'm tired of people bitching about these three guys. This, like, everybody that decides or gets a chance to do Monday Night Football, people are critiquing. This team is just fine. They're good.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like, people still, well, maybe there's – Jeff, I don't think they're that bad. You got a quarterback. You got a front office guy.
Like
you got a play-by-play.
Yeah. I think Lewis Riddick is exceptional. First of all, you still there? What happened to me? Can you hear me okay? You still got me? Hey, you still there?
All right, we're back, and I believe Jeff Darlington is gonna.
No, listen, Jeff, it's not your fault. Don't worry about it. Dan, don't touch anything. You just listen to us, bro. We're good. We're good back there. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything. We'll catch up. We'll get back to normal. Hollywood has to go. He's got some personal stuff to take care of. We got a lot of stuff actually to talk about, and we appreciate JD trying to get back on with us. We're having some problems. And so, Dan, you just... All right.
Jeff Darlington's back!
Hey! Is Joe trying to use his cell phone to do the radio show, too?
Don't blame me, bro. Don't blame me. We got commercials running, you off the air. We got...
what the hell? Who cares? It's 2020.
2020 is a crazy time. That's right.
You can cheat on your wife in 2020. It doesn't matter.
Hey, I'm not doing that.
Hey, I'm not doing that, man.
That doesn't work. That's not good.
Oh,
if I did, I never did. But I mean, if I would, I would have been back. Hey,
sure time 2020. Hey, it's 2020.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I can see telling Mrs. Rose, it's 2020.
I do find it funny when people, like, when someone who's, like, 110 years old dies, because that's what old people do, they die, and, like, someone will be 110 and die, and someone's like, oh, man, 2020 got us again. It's like, no, that time was actually just old age.
Right. Can't blame it for everything, man. It definitely got some problems, there's no question. Hey, what do you think of the Monday Night Football team? I was asking before we lost you.
Yeah,
I think those guys are good, man. I have no problem with them.
I like him. I love Lewis. I think Lewis is really solid. Steve Levy, I think is excellent at play-by-play. So I don't really ever understand the whole crazy fandom over the booth. Like, people rip, and I know there's going to be people rolling their eyes right now, people rip like Joe Buck. Joe Buck is probably the greatest play-by-play guy that we will ever hear in our lifetime. Like, these guys are doing a job that is so difficult. And it blows my mind that we're all looking for just the perfect guy. Tony Romo, exceptional. I get that he's universally loved. Al Michaels, I assume, is universally loved. I don't know. But I don't know, man. I think the Monday Night Booth is good. But I also don't – I guess my standard is not to expect, just a utopic, moment where I just love everything that everybody says every time.
Jeff, I have never watched a game, no matter what they say, and turned it off. I have never had a game I really wanted to watch where the announcers affect me or I go, I can't watch this anymore. And it's never happened. Never. So whoever it is, if people don't mind. Yeah. Anyway,
cool.
Hey, how about our boy? Let's get into some good stuff with some people you know really well. Let's talk about the Adam Gase situation going on. I'm curious because I know, like us, you're close to him. Sam Darnold, the team, DeAndre. I want to hear what you have to say about our boy Adam Gase.
I don't know, man. I think Adam just seems like a year away. it's obviously not working. I mean, maybe, like, can he turn around Thursday against the Broncos that's injury depleted? Like, eh, sure. But, like, I think that to date, I don't know. It feels like a lot of the same issues that were cropping up in Miami in terms of just kind of managing the people, managing the roster. You know, a guy like Jamal Adams, like find a way to keep him around, right? Like, and that was the thing, part of the frustration in Miami. I think Adam sometimes maybe puts the cart ahead of the horse in terms of, like, clearing out the roster to create culture when sometimes I don't know if I agree with that philosophy, because if you clear out the roster to create culture, it's going to be really hard to create culture in a losing environment. So it feels like you have to manage. I felt this way. Remember when the Dolphins traded Vontae Davis to the Colts? And I remember thinking then, like, Vontae was having, like, a few issues off the field, and they immediately just cut bait because they're like, oh, this guy's a culture problem. And, like, first of all, he's a pretty good guy. He's just doing some stupid stuff. And you know what it's your job to do? It's not your job to just trade guys away and acquire draft picks. It's your job to manage the roster, to get the most out of your players, to find a way to take someone like Vontae Davis, which has nothing to do with Adam Gase. It's a real segue here, but I think it's maybe
that's
just
Jeff
a good
Ireland.
Analogy.
That's that big bozo, the clown, Jeff Ireland, your friend.
The same thing. Jeff's issue, too, was also managing people. And I just think that it goes a long way when you look at the best in the business. They're great at managing people. And I think that's been something that's bitten the Miami Dolphins a lot. And right now it seems to be biting the Jets a little bit, too, with Adam Gase as the coach.
Jeff, we had a little bit of a scare yesterday in the NFL with the COVID-19, the Tennessee Titans, the Vikings. A couple teams are being affected. Nothing's come out crazy yet. They haven't canceled anything yet. But how scary was yesterday, you think, in the commissioner's office? And for NFL teams just in general, all 32 of them, seeing what happened. It's taken 4 weeks to get there, but it's a little scary when that does happen, when four or five guys might have COVID.
Well, I think it was inevitable. That was always my concern in the offseason. My concern was never whether this would happen. This was going to happen, and if you thought otherwise, you're just naive, including the NFL. My question was, would the NFL be prepared when it did? Or would they just be like, we'll figure it out when we get there? It feels to me like the NFL was prepared because they seemed to take pretty diligent action right away. You know, you shut down the facility. Nobody can come back till Saturday. You shut down the Vikings facility. And look, I get the competitive imbalance when it comes to the fact that the Titans won't be able to practice until Saturday at the earliest for what is still scheduled to be a Sunday game. That is unfair, right?
Yes.
But it's better than not having football, and that's the alternative. So I think that it's better than not having football, and it's also way better than trying to let them go back out there and practice and creating more of an outbreak. So I think you have to manage it. So far, it feels like the NFL is taking appropriate action. I don't think they're being alarmists. I also don't think that they're just turning a blind eye. It feels to me at this point like the right move. Right.
Jeff, we got a lot of national guys on ESPN and NFL Network still going, why isn't Tua playing ahead of Fitzpatrick, who's played well the last 2 weeks? I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on the quarterback situation and the future for Tua this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Miami Dolphins have the best situation possible when it comes to a quarterback room with a young player like Tua, and not just a veteran like a bridge. It's not just a bridge. Ryan Fitzpatrick is fun to watch. I mean, that was enjoyable to watch him play the other day. Like, that was fun. And if you're a football fan, the thing that you want is wins, yes, but you also want to just enjoy watching your team. So if it means until Tua gets out there, getting to watch a fun quarterback like Fitzpatrick, knowing that he's not the guy forever, that's a good thing. So I think the Dolphins are in a situation where they actually can sort of be patient and just wait until the moment is right. I mean, to me, it's very rare that you're in a situation where you don't have to just shove your quarterback out there. Patrick Mahomes, same way, sat on the bench the entire first year because Alex Smith was there. Seemed to pay off pretty well. They knew in Kansas City that Patrick Mahomes was the guy, that he was the future, but they were able to just go about it with a nice, patient process. And I think that the Dolphins should just enjoy Fitzpatrick while they have him on the field.
Yeah, I thought there were some times during the game, in the beginning of that game, and I spoke to Joe about it on Monday, that Ryan Fitzpatrick was trying to get Tua in the game by going head first and running the ball a little bit crazy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Larry Zonka on everybody.
He was trying to get Tua in there.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But that's fun.
Right.
Concussions, like, what? I hope he stays safe, but.
Hey, before we let you go, got to get to your other guy. I like getting all your favorite guys. Ryan Tannehill seems to like this Tennessee thing okay since he's been there.
Yeah, sure he does.
They've been unbelievable. Have you talked to him?
Yeah, no, he's – oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah, he's enjoying it, man. I mean, obviously he is. But, I think that he feels like this is what he was capable of. I don't think there's ill will, per se, or anything like that. But it's one of those things where, as an individual, if you put him in, put yourself in his shoes, hell yeah, you're having a good time, man. You know, like, I think that it, while frustrating to Dolphins fans in some capacity, I think everybody sort of, has accepted that this is the way it was going to be. I think the frustrating part is that you, again, as Dolphins fans, whether you believed in him when he was here or not, you're saying, man, if we just had the pieces around these guys to be able to even assess whether they're good or not.
Absolutely.
And that's what the Dolphins now are trying to do. They're trying to put people around other people so that high tide raises all boats. Because once you, that's the difference when you talk about culture. When you've got guys, everybody raising each other up. And that's what's happening in Tennessee with Ryan. And ideally, if the Dolphins can get there, and it seems like they do have a blueprint in place, that's what you want to be doing in Miami as well.
JD, man, we're so sorry about all our technical problems, but like you said, it's 2020, man.
And what? I don't care. Are you kidding me?
Spend a little
what
bit of time with
do?
Us, man.
Joe, it's always an adventure with Bangy Dangy. Come
it's
on,
always
you know
a, it's always right. a pleasure. Yeah. Right. The amazing thing is, we're all sober.
Well, hey. maybe, you know.
No,
we're
I
at
know.
Home.
No, we're good. I definitely am.
Back in the day, Joe. Back in the day, I'd be hammered right now still if you're coming in from Hard Rock or something.
You got a special wife, man. I someday I got to talk to Mrs. Darlington because she's special, man. She is special.
That's the most backhanded compliment you can give somebody. Man, your wife is special.
She's special. Yeah.
I mean, part of your job is staying out late, like for contacts and guys and the relationships you build up.
Used to be. Yeah, it used to be. I don't do it anymore.
I gotta find
other married players who just bitch to each other about
that's
life.
Right.
That's the way it now. It used
Welcome.
To be balls and vodka together. Now it's all bitching right. at each other. Life. All right. See you guys.
JD,
you.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Jeff
it, man.
Darlington.
All right, see ya.
little teaser. Boy, that was a crap show.
Oh, that's it. And we just lost Joe. That's the best part of that whole situation is in the midst of all that, we lose Joe. Love it. All right, let's take a break. 9 o'clock hour is coming up right after this.